Yes. One day at noon, I was sitting on a bench like this, and another man that went along with him, his name was Jim also, and we're sitting there, and this little black kid, he comes up and he finds me, I put him on my lap, and he's looking at me, you know, and then he looks at the other kid, then he comes back to me, he says, how come you're just paying me? You know, he says, just say that I'm mysterious. And I just know what I'm going to call. I said, that happens to you when you get older. But just remember all that stuff. So then, so we've got to be careful what we say and how we handle ourselves in front of us. I think we have a talk about my trip, but it was really nice. The Dallas had a problem with Harvard kind of, because there were babies there too, it was about a dozen babies there. And the girls were taking care of the babies and they were doing the wash. They were hanging the wash out, they were kind of on the mountainside. They were hanging the wash out and they had to be careful, they didn't fall down. And all day long, there was wash on the line. And the kids were free to come up and talk to us. And they were just running around and having a good time. So I thought, I just like to say it was a really, really nice experience. And I was thinking that, like I mentioned, kids remember. I remember when we were raising my two girls, at night they would say, Dad, tell us some more things that happened to you when you were at that home in Stoughton. And some of them were good, some of them were funny, and they were interested to know what it was. And now even they're all grown up, they've got kids of their own. So when I talk to them sometimes, they still ask me some of the things that happened when I was there. So I thought I was going to share this tonight.
I'm glad you did. Thanks, Jim. Anyone else? Bob. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have their own achievements, they have their own home, and their own husband. Some go to school and some not, but that's still that way. We're still praying.
Yeah. That'll never quit. You pray for them always. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Well, I would like to encourage you to sometime try getting up here and doing that little kids quarter thing. 5 minutes is all it's all you need. You know what? You're in the children's eyes, your estimation's going to go up. They would appreciate it, be grateful. I'd like to see some of you do that. And if you have absolutely no idea what to do, you can come and see me. I've got a book full of worship talks for children. You know, that you could just use some of those if you wanted. But I'd like to, I think that's a neat way to show our children that they are important and a way of ministering to them. So just throwing that out there for you. If you'd like to do something like that, talk to me. I'm not asking for, you know, anybody to do it on a regular basis. I'm just saying, what if you'd like to just try it once, give it a try and see. Just tell a Bible story or something. You don't have to do anything really fancy. Just tell a Bible story. Very good. Well,
I would like to say this. This month I have sent him a letter to the elderly. I the link to the message and I'll send it to the Facebook paper. And then I felt the Lord directing me. I wrote a letter to the chemical in the Supreme Court and I found him some idea. And this week, I was almost jumping for joy because I got a big envelope from them, and I thought they would explain to me what they are doing, and it was for me to write a petition with the Supreme Court. So I was very disappointed after I opened it up and read it, but there was a lot of material in it, and they gave me the opportunity. And it was about Jesus, what I wrote about, was taking the name of Jesus out of prayer. And like that, and trying to scare them a little bit. So that's the first time I really got a letter back in a long time.
Huh.
It was surprising because I wrote to the president and told him that I got a letter back.
Yeah.
This week I got one back.
No, good.
Now, I wish I could tell you more about it, but I felt with great joy and relief to get a sense of it.
Hmm.
That would like to present what we want to do, because I can't copy it.
Okay. I think that we have to stay on top of things. Our court system, things are going to be attacking, I'm afraid, our family. And our children. Did anybody get a chance to see Huckabee last night? I don't know if you get that. But I guess Michael Ferris was on his show. Michael Ferris is he's a lawyer. He's the one in charge of homeschool legal defense. And there was a case where this child didn't want to go to church three times a week. His mom and dad made him go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Wound up going to court. The court decided that the child only had to go to church once a week. And just taking the parents' parenting away from them, you know, and letting children choose. I've heard some scary things about this indoctrination of our youth. Some are comparing it to Hitler's youth programs. Getting started. And so we really need to be careful of what's going on. And I think our children are going to be the ones that are going to be under attack. Glenn?
They better talk something about this too, but I just read about it just today.
Okay.
In a publication we get. But 139 countries signed a...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Somalia, United States. Or maybe Somalia didn't because they didn't have a government. And it's going to be coming up in the Senate. And what it all comes down to is that the children are going to have rights over the parents, and the United Nations
is going
to enforce it.
Yes.
Not the United States or our state government, but the United Nations is going to enforce it.
Yeah. I've heard that too. Yeah, they are going to tell you how to parent, what's acceptable in your parenting and what is not acceptable. I mean, how can some organization tell you the best way to raise your children? But that's what they're going to try to do.
They're going to be able to tell you if a child doesn't want to go to church like that, he's not going to have to go.
Right.
If he wants to go to another religion, or it's him or her to decide. You have a child. That's what they're.
This is.
They don't want to be homeschooled. They can just go to public school. They overrule.
Yes.
Overrule the parents.
They, I know it's.
And if you don't spank it, well,
no.
You can find yourself a Christian.
Yes. Oh, I know it's. It is. It is. Pastor Kelly.
I've said for years that when I get to heaven, some of the people I want to talk to are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's parents, because they were taken from their home, put in the most secular college that there is. They had to learn everything about every idol that there was in Babylon at the time, and they never changed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a synagogue to go to, but yet they remained true to God. Daniel all his life. And so the parents put something into those kids. I don't know what it is, but they those kids never change.
Yeah. But as we get more information on this, we'll make sure that you hear about it so you can, yeah, make some phone calls and stuff. All right. Well, you're dismissed. God bless. Thanks for coming. A legal right now to this land that I am giving you. It is your inheritance. Children are our legal right, legal blessing that He has given to us. They are our heritage. They are our reward. And so, you know, God created them in the womb, and we need to recognize God's creation and anticipate children with rejoicing. Anybody have any thoughts? Go ahead, Jim.
Last year when I was in Jamaica, every night after the day was over, there was four or five people in a group that would have people. And that night, it was my turn. You know, I said, a lot of us, we go out during the day here and see these kids. But, and then we think, we're not doing a lot. And I just, you know, like 68 years ago tonight, I was one of these little kids. I really was. And I said, now I'm 68, and I can remember that 68 years. So when I was a little kid, and people would come to this home when I was there, and they would talk to us, they would
You know, I think it's okay for us as Christians to be curious and to ask God questions and go to the Bible to try to find the answers for those questions. We mentioned this one, I believe, dependency. 1 John 2:28, little children, abide in Him that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. A child has a need to cling to his parent. And as we daily recognize our needs, our response should be that we cling to God. And we come to Him on a daily basis. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us this week our weekly bread, or give us this month our monthly bread. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He wants us to depend upon Him daily. You know, and in the parable there of the laborers, and in Bible times, what they did was when you worked, you got paid at the end of that day. You got paid for every day that you worked. You know, now we go a week, 2 weeks, sometimes even a month. But then it was on a daily basis. And Jesus was using that to say that you need to depend upon Me daily to have your needs met. The more we become like little children, the greater we will be in God's kingdom. The second thing is to see the littlest, the least, and the last. See, our tendency is to overlook things that we don't consider to be very important. You know, the least important things. Maybe you do that with your schedule. I do. I try to schedule my day by priorities. And the things that I think are the least important, I'll try to put those on at the end of the list. We tend to overlook the things that we don't think are that important. Sometimes we might even think that child's a bother. I don't have the time to spend with that child. Yet God often uses the littlest, the least, and the last to accomplish mighty things. You know, the disciples rebuked the parents who are bringing their children to Jesus. They didn't consider these children to be important. Jesus said, don't rebuke them. Let them come to me. Forbid them not. Samuel was commissioned by God to anoint the second king of Israel from the house of Jesse. You know the story, how he started with Eliab, the oldest, and thought, surely this is the guy that God wants to be the next king. And God said, I haven't chosen him. And he gets through the whole list. What is it, seven brothers there? And he said, do you have any more sons, Jesse? And Jesse said, I just have one, but, you know, he's just a teenage boy. He's out in the fields. He's watching the sheep. You're not really interested in seeing him. And Samuel said, go get him. I want to see him. And God speaks to Samuel and says, he's the one. He's the one that I have chosen. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So God often uses the littlest, the least, the last, because then the glory is all his. It all belongs to him. When Saul was first chosen to be king of Israel, the Bible says he was little in his own sight. However, he became proud, and God eventually said to him, the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. The Apostle Paul was able to be used mightily by God because of the humble view he had of himself. And in fact, the interesting thing is that as the life of the great apostle went on, he became more humble and thought even less of himself. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:9, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle. He wrote of himself later that he was less than the least of all saints. So you see, he went from being the least of the apostles to the least of all saints. And he eventually went to the place where he said, I'm the chief of sinners. And so the more success he had, the more humble he became. That's a thing for all of us to work on. The third thing we can do to keep this command is to bring little ones to Jesus. Bring little ones to Jesus. With great anticipation, the young couple looked forward to the birth of their first child and prayed that he would come to know the Lord at a young age. The day their son was born, the new father took the baby in his arms and told him the gospel story. One day when he was about 3 years old, the little boy was outside playing and disobeyed his mom. As she lovingly corrected him, he told her, Mommy, my heart hurts. She recognized that it was the Holy Spirit convicting him of his sins, so she took the opportunity to explain how Jesus died to pay for the sins of the whole world and how each of us needs him to be our Savior. Thinking he was too young to really understand, she planted some seeds about salvation but left it at that. However, a few days later, the son came bounding up to her and exclaimed, Mommy, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he did. Isn't that amazing? He did that all on his own. Didn't even need any coaxing or help. The mom didn't think he was old enough to understand, but here he is, 3 years old. I'm so glad the gospel is simple, that it's easy, so easy that even a child can understand it. Initially, the parents questioned whether or not such a young child could really comprehend salvation and respond to Christ. But as time went on, they began to see clear evidences of God's working in his life. And perhaps even some of you came to know the Lord as a child. You know, if Jesus didn't forbid the children to come to him on earth, certainly he's not going to forbid them to come to him when he's in heaven. And you know, they say the best time to begin to train children is while they're still in the womb. I did that. I read the Bible to our babies when they were still in the womb, before they were born. After you get over the initial, this is ridiculous feeling, it helped. It helped. And Debbie could have maybe helped me out, but I know we had one of the births that was going a little bit difficult, and the baby was kind of excited and the heart was racing. And believe it or not, I spoke to it and it calmed right down. The baby got used to hearing Dad's voice. And you know, it's interesting that John the Baptist was in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth was greeted by Mary, the babe leaped in her womb for joy. So they say that hearing is developed at like 7 months. Isn't it? Before that. Okay, before that. Sorry. But anyway, hearing is developed. It's one of the first sensory organs in the body that is developed. And so John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit while he was still in his mother's womb. Then after the child is born, parents have that God-given responsibility of training them up in the way that they should go. You know, one of the things I have to keep reminding myself is my children really don't belong to me. They belong to the Lord. And I have the great privilege of trying to raise them for his purposes and for him. You know, it's latest statistics I saw was that nearly half of all